at Rocket, we know buying a home is exciting and a bit overwhelming. Ready to buy a home but stressed about writing those big checks? Rocket can help you save. When you buy with Rocket Homes and finance with Rocket Mortgage, you can get up to $10,000 cash toward closing from Rocket Mortgage. It's a pretty big deal. And one you can get only with Rocket. Visit onlywithrocket.com to get started today.
For purchase transactions only, must log rate between 331 and 831. Call 8337-ROCKET for conditions and restrictions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 11th day of August 2023. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight, the man with a great big smile, none other, our board op, Kyle.
Happy Friday, Pastor Ernie.
Happy Friday, Kyle. And then way out yonder in the 10-gallon. The guy with a 10-gallon hat, he really don't wear a cowboy hat because, I won't go into that. It's personal. But the man of renown known nationwide, worldwide, the co-founder of Cops for Christ, the author of many great books, just an astounding person, none other than Big John McTernan.
Thank you, Pastor Ernie. God bless you and all your listeners. And you hear about the 10-gallon Texas hats?
Yeah.
I only wear a 5-gallon one, okay?
Do you?
All right?
Well, that's the kind of guy you are. You're not boisterous. You're a 5-gallon hatter.
Right. That's right.
All righty, and if you're ready for some R&R, if you are, we have Ron Ritz right here with us. Hey, Ron.
Good evening, everyone.
He's better known around here as Barb's Man.
Yeah.
That's what every time they see him coming, it's, here comes Barb's Man.
The better half.
All right. And this is the voice of the Christian resistance. Now, we have a whole lot to get to tonight, but you know what? Here's what happened. We have so many articles here to do that we forgot to pray. So, John, we need you to open us in prayer and ask the folks out there to join with you that we have a radio program tonight that is honoring, glorifying, edifying, and one that pleases the good Lord, and that the people out there listening, he knows who's listening, what they need to hear, and that he uses us to do that for him. What do you think?
Amen, Pastor. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we are asking for protection as we do this show because it has been interfered with in the past, blocking the truth going out. So we ask for everything will work perfectly. We ask that truth will go out that people need to hear. And the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And we want your word, and we want Jesus Christ glorified. So anoint Pastor Ernie as he leads the show now. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
All righty. Thanks, John. And tonight, the last part of the message, what you don't know can leave you burning in hell. And we're going to pick it up over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7.
Hang on, Pastor.
That's 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 2 Corinthians 4, and I'm there.
All right. And we're going to start here. Now, when we start there, well, let's take it verse by verse and kind of just get into it, dig into it, where he says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." So, therefore, always means to continue, and we have to go back to verse 16 to do that. "Nevertheless, when I shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. And so here, what do you think he means by that? Okay, when he's talking about the veil, when he refers to the veil should be taken away.
I think, Pastor Ernie, that might be the spiritual veil between this realm and the other realm.
Well, remember the veil that he put over Moses' face?
Right.
What was, yeah.
Exactly. He couldn't see God's face. He couldn't see God's glory.
Right. And then what about the veil of the temple? The veil of the temple, that was to keep us from direct contact with God, wasn't it?
Right. Right.
Now, in both cases, direct contact with God meant that you were no more, huh?
Right. Because God is holy and man is sinful, and God's glory emanates from his face, here the scripture says, so that when his glory comes out, it's pure holiness, and when it comes against our sinful body and nature, the body just can't exist in front of him.
But he says when we turn to the Lord, the veil should be taken away. So now is the veil taken away? Will we look upon the face of God when we get to heaven?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It says it in Revelation 22, and we shall see his face.
Yeah. "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." So tell me, what does that mean, having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty? I have...
Lies, deceit, scheming, you know, things like that, Pastor Ernie.
I have an article here. And it's from this a woman who calls herself the Reverend. And listen to this. She calls herself the Reverend. Her name is Rebecca Todd Peters. She's one of Planned Predators, so-called clergy. And she spoke at the Community Church of Chapel Hill, Unitarian Universalist. It's an apostate church. Actually, it's a satanic church. It's as apostate as apostate gets. So this woman calls herself a Presbyterian minister. But what does the Word of God call her?
A lot of things, Pastor Ernie. A false teacher, that's probably the nicest thing.
Well, would you
probably
say,
a whore.
How about rebellion is the same as what?
Witchcraft.
And so here, she has rebelled, first of all. She's embracing, she killed two of her children. She killed her two of her children, and this wicked woman says God was there to comfort her while she was killing her children. So what does that tell you? One, she's rebellious, she's a liar. And you're right, Rebecca Todd Peters, you're not a minister, you're a witch. Rebecca Todd Peters, a member of Planned Predators, so-called clergy, you are not a minister. Rebecca, you are a witch, okay? And so here, when it refers to, therefore, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Rebecca is very dishonest. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Was she handling the word of God deceitfully when she said God was with her when she killed her babies?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. I'm just going to say she's deceived, and she's deceiving everyone that she comes in contact with.
Okay. Now, verse 3 says this. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Okay. Do you think the gospel seems to be hid to her?
Yes, absolutely, Pastor. No doubt.
Listen, we'll ask Ron this next verse to see if he knows the answer. Ready? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Who is the God of this world?
Satan. Yes, Satan.
It's not Obama? Because Obama thought he was a God.
That is synonymous sometimes.
George Soros says he's a God.
I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, George Soros said he was a God, but it's not George Soros?
Nope. Okay. They're just the devil's little helper. They're
what about Klaus Schwab? Not him either? No. They want to be. They're shooting for that, right?
They're trying to.
Okay. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, where the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So what is the treasure we have? What is the light that has shined within us, in our hearts, to give the lights of the knowledge of the glory of God? What is it that dwells within us that gives us that knowledge and that glory?
The Holy Spirit, Pastor.
And where do the earthen vessels come from?
From God. That's our bodies.
Yep. So we have the treasure in earthen vessels. That means the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our bodies, huh? All right. We're making progress here. We're learning some stuff. Let's go over to Romans. And in Romans, here in chapter 15, we'll start in verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please our neighbor for his good to edification. Listen. You know, that's some question, and the question is, who is your neighbor? Remember when the Pharisee asked the Lord Jesus, who is your neighbor? Are the people that live next door, are they necessarily your neighbors, according to the Bible? Jesus answered that, okay. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the Good Samaritan, when asked who was their neighbor, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan did what? He put others first, didn't he? Okay. And so that was the definition of a neighbor, not necessarily someone who lives next door. Now, someone who lives next door may live next door, but that doesn't mean they're your neighbor, according to the Bible, right?
Yes.
And so here, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Oh, you know what? Hey, as it is written. You know, if we go over to the Gospel of John, remember what the apostles said. Now listen, remember when Christ came into the money changers were into the temple, and Christ came into the temple, and here, let me read verse 15 of John chapter 2. Well, actually, let's go to verse 13.
What chapter is this, Pastor Ernie?
John chapter 2.
Okay.
We'll read verses 13 through 17. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that are sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen poured out the changers' money, and overthrew their tables, and said unto them that sold the doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. How do you think that the Prosperity Church relates to that passage?
Well, if they are money changers there, if their goal is merchandising God's people, they're not very happy with it.
Let's go in verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, this is that the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And so going back to where we were there in verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, as it is written, reproaches of them reproached to thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through preference and comfort of the Scriptures may have hope. Let me ask you, not all of Scripture was written to us, but was it not all written for us?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, right at the end of John, it tells us there. Let me go to John 20 and verse 30. It tells us right here, John 20, 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name.
Wow. And then we read, Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Jesus. Now, well, let's go back for whatsoever things were written aforetime, right? Now, the God of patience, this is interesting because here we see that that Jesus was the God of patience, of consolation. He was the God of hope. He was the God of peace also in 15:33. In this chapter, he's the God of everything here. That we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, do we have an absolute obligation to God, John, to boldly proclaim the authority and truthfulness of God's word?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we all do, Pastor Ernie.
Now, let me ask you this question. If you really love your children and your friends and even your in-laws, you will be more concerned. You know, how many times have we had people say, you know, we're going over there and maybe, you know, let's just keep it a nice holiday.
Yeah,
and
don't talk religion or politics.
Let's not mention religion, okay? Let's keep your... How do you feel when people say that, John?
Well, Pastor, I'm not happy about it, but unfortunately, not in my family here now, but in my between my mother and my father, that was necessary.
Okay. Now, if people say that, look, but Jesus said, if you're ashamed of him before man, then he would be ashamed of you before who?
God.
The Father. Right. Okay. So, do you know what I say? Well, when people say, you know, we're going over there, but maybe if you could not mention God or not mention getting saved, you know, you don't want to offend these people, right? Do you know what I would say? Just like what I do say. Why, what's wrong with those people?
Yeah.
Right? What's wrong with those people? So what do you think? Would you say this? Look, I know I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to witness to you, but I don't want to offend you by witness. I know you're not saved, and I know if you died right now, you'd burn in hell, but I care so much about you, I'd rather have you burn in hell than offend you by witnessing to you. What do you think?
It's a bad trade-off.
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's my way of thinking and my experience in life is not quite black and white. I mean, with my family, there's so many, they've heard the gospel so many times, so many ways, they just did not want to hear anymore. And then there was grandkids involved, and so I wasn't happy about it. And in my father's case, I kept quiet and did a lot of prayers through the years. It got to the point he would listen to, I'd give him John 3:16 when I was leaving. And then at the end, he came to the Lord. But there were many, many, many years. There was a big void there, Pastor.
Do you know how I got the gospel to many of my relatives that were unsaved? The way I do it, those that don't want to go to church and that. I've preached so many funerals. I have preached so many funerals, and when they're family members, everybody's there. And John, let me ask you this. Are funerals for the living or for the dead?
Yeah, they're for the living, Pastor Ernie.
So the whole purpose there at that funeral service is to get that salvation message out. That's a perfect opportunity to do it, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And I know, I tell you, I've really hit hard and heavy at the funerals, and those unsaved relatives, they have to hear it. You know, they have to hear it, don't they? And then you remind them, look here, if you want to be with Cousin John here, that just, well, John knew the Lord, so he went home to be with the Lord. But, you know, if he didn't know the Lord, he wouldn't be with the Lord today. He'd be in hell. But we know today that John's with the Lord. And that's when I always give an invitation to come talk to me, come see me after the funeral.
They've got a good incentive at that point.
Yeah.
Or a different perspective.
You always tell them, look, Cousin John's the only one that's not here today. That's not John in that coffin. That's his tabernacle. John's in a much better place, and he's not thinking about this. Okay, right?
Yep.
There you go. All right, with all of that, we will be back right after this. Don't go away.
I've always considered myself to be a patriotic man, but I have seen some changes in America that's hard to understand. It breaks my heart, one nation under God is what we used to say. What's happened to the USA? God help us in America today. In God we trust, that's how it used to be. Now our leaders have no morals. The results are plain to see. Some would vote for the devil if they thought there was a dollar to be made. Then they'll go to church and praise the Lord. God help us in America today. They took God out of school. They've replaced him with the wisdom of a fool. Now the experts wonder why the kids are bringing drugs and guns to school. Since they took away the cross, look how much it cost. And by the way, our children are the ones who pay. God help us in America today. In God we trust, that's how it used to be. Now our leaders have no morals. The results are plain to see. Some would vote for the devil if they thought there was a dollar to be made. Then they'll go to church and praise the Lord. God help us in America today. I still love my country, but sometimes I want to hang my head and cry. If we don't hold to what made us strong, all we can do is watch this nation die. It's sad to say but true, the red, white, and blue is looking awful gray. Can you hear the ghost of Lincoln say, God help my America today? In God we trust, that's how it used to be. Now our leaders have no morals, and the results are plain to see. Some would vote for the devil if they thought there was a dollar to be made. Then they'll go to church and praise the Lord. God help us in America today. Can you hear the ghost of Lincoln say, God help my America today?
My old pal Danny Ray, him and I, we've done songs together and sang together in so many places, and that's my old buddy Danny Ray, very well-known gospel singer. Now, I got to say this. First of all, let me just give you the newsletter. Folks out there, if you don't get our newsletter, you really should get our newsletter. It don't cost you anything. And we send you information. See, our job here is to be the watchman on the wall. The Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and we want to do everything we can. We have for 50 years to get as much of that knowledge to you as possible, because we're living in the Antichrist world system. Now, this is the days of the time Jesus said the days of sorrow. But anyhow, you really need to get the newsletter. You can go up on the website, wrwl.org, and you can see, or if you write us at WRWL 14781 Sperry, Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury, Ohio 44065, or if you just call us at 440-338-1367, we can get you on that newsletter. Now, here's the other thing. I can't return. I get a lot of letters. I mean, a lot of letters and prayer requests. People wanted me to write them back. Could you write me back? I can't do that. I don't have enough time in a day, because that's, Even if that's all I did, I wouldn't have enough time in the day. But I can, if you'll send a phone number when you call and you have a question, if you give me your phone number, I'm much more likely to be able to call you, okay? Now, saying that, Mrs. B. Mariner, I got your request. I received your request here, and if you give me a call at 440-338-1367, that's 440-338-1367, I will do what I can to see if I can meet your request there. There's a lady who is in very poor health. And anyhow, so I will do what I can to meet your request. Now, got to tell you about this. We have people asking, too, can we copy the songs that we play? You can copy any songs you want, you know, especially any of my songs. You can copy the lyrics, absolutely, sure. We have, this coming Sunday, at Doers of the Word Baptist Church, gospel signs. We have a lot of gospel signs. Hey, John, does God's word ever return void?
No, Pastor Ernie, his word does not return void. It accomplishes what it's sent to do, Pastor Ernie.
Well, we have
always, his word. It's quick and powerful, and it accomplishes exactly what God wants. So, no, it never returns void.
We'll ask Ron a question. Hey, Ron, when you're driving down the freeway and you see a big billboard with the gospel verses on there, how does that make you feel when you see one that says, "He that hath the Son hath life"?
It's always nice to see, and it always seems like you'll see it on the side of a freeway, but it's usually in the rural sections. It'd be nice to see those closer to cities.
Well, if you're driving down the street and you see it right out in somebody's yard, that sign.
I've seen them, yeah.
Now, what happens when you drive by our church?
You see a lot of signs like that, which is nice. I mean, it's nice to see because you just don't see it everywhere.
By the time you go through our front yard, you've done gone through the New Testament, haven't you?
Yeah, you got to slow down and actually stop.
And so,
Pastor Ernie, when I would go to your church there, it was so easy to spot. You know, I'm about 10 miles away. I don't know how far I'm away. And I can see that big tower sticking up in the air.
Yep. And underneath that, we have... Yeah.
It's like a landmark.
We have the Word of God. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have big posters out there. So people driving by our church 24 hours a day can get the Word of God. And that's why we have it out there, because God's Word never, ever, ever, ever returns void, does it?
No.
Okay. And so this Sunday, we're going to have a lot of these gospel signs that you can stick out in the yard. See, if you're not ashamed of being a Christian and you're not ashamed of the Word of God, you need to really put one of these signs out in your yard, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, and so when people tell me, I know where you live, Pastor Sanders, because we have that big pavilion out there. But anyhow, folks, we have... By God's grace, we have a lot of them, because my good friend Joe Marshall was out there, and he has the AV Sign Ministry, and he was at the church, and we have a lot of these yard signs available at the church right now, and so and they're free. We'll take a donation. We'll take a donation, because we help him out big time to get the Word of God out. But we have a whole lot of them that'll be there this Sunday at Doers of the Word. And then after the morning service, in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, we have the class, the Bible and Current Events. And we're doing an in-depth series on artificial intelligence. This is really good. People really need to see this. So. And then that goes from 4 to 5, and at 5 o'clock we have the evening service starts. And so the way it works out is it starts in the morning. Now, we're an actual New Testament church. We are not a 501c3 corporation. We're an actual New Testament church where we hold to the Word of God without any compromise. No compromise, right?
Yes.
Okay. And And so what happens is we start with an in-depth Bible study, at 8:30. And we kind of take the message to a little higher level, okay, at 8:30 in the morning. And the smartest people in the church are there. And some that aren't. All right. And there, it started at 8:30, and then at about 9:45 we have another class, and that goes to 10:30. And then the regular morning service starts at 11:15, and that usually ends at about 1 o'clock, somewhere in that area. Okay. And so, as stewards of the Word, Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, and the zip is 44065 if you'd like to write us. Now, I said all that because people always want to know, what times are your services? What time are your services? Well, we tell you. All righty. Big John, just in. President Trump responds to Jack Smith's request for a protective order. Now, Jack Smith went to this judge, Tanya Chutkan, a D.C. judge. What do you know about Judge Tanya Chutkan?
Well, she seems to be the hanging judge, Pastor Ernie, for all the January 6th. I don't know about all the trials. I don't know if she had all the trials, but a lot of the trials. And when the government was, like, not recommending jail, she jailed them. And if the government recommended a year, she was given 3 years. So she's nasty, Pastor.
Would you say that this woman, this Judge Tanya Chutkan, she hates Christians? Would you say she hates Christians?
If Christians are patriots, absolutely.
All right, so now if you hate Christians, that means you hate who? Christ, right?
Well, yeah, the Bible and the Lord.
Where's that going to get her?
In the end?
Yeah.
Well, a place called the Lake of Fire, Pastor Ernie, and she'll know as a judge when she stands. How do you think it will be for her as a judge, a federal judge, standing before the judge of the universe, Pastor Ernie, knowing there's no hope, no way out, no lying, no deep state to help her, you know, no bribery, none of that. She has to stand and face truth.
So if you could talk to this woman, Tanya Chutkan, what would you tell her she needs to do, John?
Well, she has to really, like everyone else, Pastor Ernie, she has to repent of her sin and turn to Jesus Christ as her Savior and the Word of God, submit herself to the Word of God, and not back up, not be a part of a tyrannical government, Pastor Ernie.
What would you tell her, Ron, if she refuses to repent of her sins? She's a very rebellious woman, She hates God's people. What would you tell her? What advice would you give her?
Well, hell is not it's not a dry heat, and it's forever. It's really that simple. And there's no appeals down there either.
So
that's right. There is no appeals, Pastor.
So will the ACLU be there to help her out?
They'll be there, but they can't help
they'll
her out.
They'll be there.
Yep, they'll be there. You're right, but not to help her out, huh? So now she's telling President Trump, the legitimate president of this United States, President Donald J. Trump, the legitimate president of this United States, and anyone and everyone that says he's a liar and there's not a bit of truth in him, okay? Because he had that election taken away. It was not a fair election. It was illegitimate. He won that election, but it was stolen from him. And who else was it stolen from?
Gary Lake. Oh, the people.
It was stolen, Pastor Ernie, yeah. I believe, from several people. Kerry Lake there in Arizona for one, and the Attorney General in Arizona for two, two senators in Georgia, and let me see who else. In Pennsylvania, there was a couple stolen there. I'm sure in Michigan and Wisconsin.
How about that Dr. Oz? They got him, too, didn't they?
Yeah. How could Fetterman win anything?
Yeah. Well, anyhow, yeah, it's the when it comes to election fraud and voter fraud, the Democrats are to election fraud what Elvis was to rock and roll. Okay. I mean, they're the best when it comes to that. So now this woman, this Judge Tanya Chutkan, you know, she really hates Donald Trump. Okay, she has a real phobia for Donald Trump. She is telling Donald Trump, "You can't. I'm not going to put a gag order on you, but you can't say anything that has anything to do with the trial, okay, that pertains to the trial. So now, or anyone who has be called for a witness or involved in this. Now, so now Mike Pence just came out recently and says he is willing to testify against President Trump. Did Mike do himself a favor, or did Mike do himself a big disservice?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I think he is way, way, way up. He's graduated to the upper echelons of the deep state now. But with us and with the truth and with the Lord, I mean, he is as low as you can get. He's down there with, like, Benedict Arnold.
Okay, so now this would say, because he's involved in this, that President Trump can't say anything about Mike Pence.
Yeah, now all his, every detractor can say whatever they want about him for the next, you know, 8 months, and he's not able to respond.
Okay, now what about Bill Barr?
He said recently that if... he would jump off a bridge if President Trump were reelected. So there's, I think the biggest bridge is in Colorado. We should all send him there.
Yeah.
But if she puts the gag order through, President Trump will not be able to respond to any of these charges or any insults.
First of all, would that be illegal? Would that be legal for her to do that and, during an election? That's not constitutional.
No.
So that would be an illegal order, would it not be?
Yeah, but Pastor Ernie, what difference does it make?
Well, listen to this.
I mean, what the law to the Democrats? It's only the law is only good when they can use it against us. Like, how much illegal things has this Smith, the special prosecutor? How much has he done already?
According to Dershowitz, he has actually committed the same crimes that he's trying to charge Donald Trump with, convict Trump.
There you go.
He's committed those now.
So Trump would have to go to the D.C. federal court against him, and forget that. I mean, that court is a kangaroo court.
Okay, so not only that, but because he is known, even by other corrupt lawyers, he is known to be, you know, over the top. In fact, he's had a lot of his cases thrown out of court because he's so over the top.
Yeah, and Pastor Ernie, I wish I would have jotted this down, but there was some federal judge that read him the riot act for what he had done during a trial. He was excoriated from the bench from what he had done.
That is the judge. That is the judge right there in Florida. That is the judge in Florida, and her name
Cannon. You're talking about Cannon?
Yeah, Judge Cannon. Yep. Judge Aline Cannon. She blasted Jack Smith for operating a secret out of district grand jury. That's not legal.
No, that was down in Florida.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's not.
So
it's not legal.
So, you know, this is now there's a lot of talk about charging, making some charges, bringing a grand jury. Now, he'd have to do it in a state. We'd have to do it in a state and drag Jack Smith before the grand jury. But now they're saying you can't do it while he's a special counsel. You can't do that. What do you think, John?
Yeah, you got a license for crime if you're a special counsel.
Well,
they should. You know what should happen? Well, again, Pastor Ernie, these bars, the state bars association, you know, the law, the lawyer bar, they're all hard leftist. The whole legal system is leftist now.
Yeah.
So if he should be disbarred. If he can't be brought up on charges, how about being disbarred for violating the law as a lawyer?
If you lie under oath to Congress, is that a felony?
Yes, it is.
So you have a guy named Andrew McCabe, and that's what he did. And so here, guess who we refused to prosecute him for lying under oath to Congress? He gave I'm Rand Awan a sweetheart deal also and more. And so who do you think it was that, again, refused to prosecute Andrew McCabe?
Bill Barr.
It was Jack Smith.
Oh, okay.
Jack Smith, yep. Same. But Barr, yeah, Bill Barr, too, I would consider to be treasonous. So Barr, should we call these guys all halithophils? Do you know who halithophil was?
No.
Okay. John knows who halithophil was. You know who King David was?
Yes.
Who was he?
He was Solomon's father. How's that?
Okay. Right. Now, Halithophil was his top number one general.
Oh, that's the one that conspired with his son to...
that's right. He betrayed him.
From Solomon.
He was to David what Judas was to Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, would maybe apply to Mike Pence or to Bill Barr?
Well, at least King David only had to worry about one versus probably hundreds at this point we see today. Just think of how deep all this is. And then it's ironic that you have the prosecutor, Jack Smith, kind of hiding behind immunity to continue the case. That's how bad it's got.
So now this woman, this Judge Tanya Chutkan, who hates Christ, who hates Christians, and she hates Donald Trump with a passion, then she's going to put this gag order to tell Trump he can't speak out against this. So do you think Trump is going to comply with that?
No. I don't think he could comply even if he wanted to.
No, he's not going to comply with that. And do you know what? She would be, if she's got any intelligence at all, she won't go there, okay? If she tries to show how powerful she is, is that going to come back and bite her all over?
I don't think so. What has stopped these people in the past? They're just breaking rule after rule after rule after rule, and nothing stops them.
Okay. If Trump gets back into office, what's going to happen to the deep state? Now listen. There's two people running for president, Trump and Biden, out there. If one of them goes to the White House, the other one's going where?
Probably jail.
To prison,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
To the big house.
If Trump gets back in, Trump has already promised to the people that, first of all of those involved in the January 6th, all of those people, that first of all, the first thing he's going to do is pardon all the January 6ers and all those people that put them in that dirty, dirty, dirty D.C. jail, they're going to jail. He's going to prosecute. Trump says he's going to find someone who's decent, someone who's honest, someone who's not a crook to run the Department of Justice right now. Let me ask you this. I'll ask Materna because he's pretty smart. How easy do you think it would be for Merrick Garland to find someone that is more corrupt than himself to prosecute?
to find someone more corrupt than himself. Well, I think he could find someone equal. I don't know about more, though, Pastor Ernie.
Think about this, though. 20 years ago, we seen Bill Clinton and how corrupt he ran the government for 8 years. We thought that was just the absolute worst. Then we seen Obama that actually took it to a new low. Now we have Biden taking it to a new low. I don't think there's a depth to their depravity. I don't see
it. First of all, it wasn't Bill Clinton. It was Hillary. She was running things. And Bill Clinton out there, as long as he had cocaine and women, he was okay. And he was not nearly as corrupt as Hillary.
Correct. Okay? But just remember our frame of mind back then. This was the worst thing that ever happened to America was Bill
then
Clinton.
Then Obamanation came along.
And
the first thing Obama did is he started purging anyone who was
the military.
The military, he purged 11 four-star generals. Those are the same people that convinced Trump to run for president. Trump really didn't want to run, but they convinced him to run for president, okay? But not only that, I mean, it was like Obama went down to the gates of hell, knocked on the doors and said, listen, I want your most corrupt. Yeah. I want the most corrupt people you have. Send me so I can put them, okay? And that's how Merrick Garland got in there, too. And that's exactly, Obama.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, looking at the condition of the federal government now and law enforcement, now the FBI stands out, but you got Department of Homeland Security and other agencies, the Attorney General's office. I think that President Trump, let's say he's elected, I don't think he can go within the federal government, Pastor Ernie. I think he'd have to come like Texas and find, you know, tremendous prosecutors with character here in the attorney's office, the attorney general's office. He'd have to go to states, Oklahoma, Florida. I don't know about Ohio, Pastor.
He would not be able to do it. And you're right. And
no,
unless he went to people.
Head of the FBI, head of the FBI, he'd have to do the same thing. Go through the states and find great chiefs of police and chiefs of the state police, and he'd have to get that vermin out of Washington and the State Department. I mean, the U.S. Attorney's office.
He could pull a lot of them. He'd have to pull them from Congress. People like Jim Jordan, like Josh Hawley, people like Ted Cruz.
You don't want to lose them in Congress.
Yeah, I know. That would be a problem. All right, we're going to come up to a gate. But what you just said here, Comer, and Comer is another one. He's doing a great job. He says that the agencies that refuse to cooperate include the Department of Justice, the FBI, the IRS, the Treasury, and the Secret Service, according to House Oversight Committee. In other words, that they've gotten, the deep state's gotten to all of these, even the Secret Service. So we're coming up to a break, and when we come back from the break, we got a whole lot more to go. I mean, a lot more, so folks, don't go away. A whole lot more coming your way tonight. So he's got a countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right.
Fight the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Let's come again tonight.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.